It is so good to see all of you. This is such a strange mix of emotions here because I get to see so many people that I've known over the years and enjoyed talking to and spending time with, but it's under what we might consider in some ways a difficult situation. So I thank you all for coming out, just to let you know that the bathrooms are the last door on the right for the men, next to the last door on the right for the women, and we will follow the service as printed in our bulletin. Our scripture reading today, the first comes from, the Old Testament reading comes from Proverbs the third chapter, and we'll just a couple verses here. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We want to do that today. The New Testament reading comes from the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. The fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, a very common verse. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just want to praise you and thank you that we have an opportunity to come together and celebrate a life. We're celebrating the life of Karen Marie Martin. We're celebrating the fact that she impacted so many people. We're celebrating this day. And so we ask, Lord, that you would help, that you would help us to find the peace and the joy in all that you so richly supply for us this day. Lord, what an amazing thing it is to stand here today remembering all of the goodness that you supplied through her. So we praise you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In the morning when I arise, in the morning when I arise, in the morning when I arise, just give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can't have all this world. Just give me Jesus. When I am alone, I am alone, this world. Just give me Jesus. When I come to die, come to die, just give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can't have all this world.
Reads, Karen Marie Martin Sismar, a Valentine's Day sweetheart, born on February 14, 1969, in Garfield Heights, peacefully departed this earth April 23, 2021, at the age of 52, to be with her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ after a long battle with health complications. No more pain. No more suffering. Growing up with parents Raymond Sismar Sr. deceased and Diane Keefley, Karen attended Garfield Heights Schools and Lumen Cordium Catholic School. Karen found success in her life in the home mortgage field as a loan processor and a notary public. She found love at age 16 with James Martin Sr. for 37 years and was married for the last 34 of those. Some of her favorite activities included camping, fishing, gardening, taking care of her dogs and cats, cooking and baking for her loved ones, motorcycle rides with her husband, swimming with the family in her pool, music and concerts, and spending as much time with her grandkids as she could. She was the definition of love for many of you, spreading all of her joy and kindness to anyone around her. She is survived by her beloved husband, James Sr., her mother, Diane, and stepfather, Gary Keefley, children, Kristen, whose husband is Daniel Smelko, and James Jr., whose fiance is Sarah Skidmore. Grandchildren, Dalton, Grayson, Chloe, Daniel, Ryan, Weston, Olivia, and Kaylin. Brothers, Raymond Sismar, Jr., and David Sismar. Stepsister, Kim Hicks, whose husband is Chris. Stepbrothers, Kyle Keefley, his wife, Marie Land, and Darren Keefley, whose wife is Amy. This is a time where I want to give an opportunity for anyone that wants to make remarks about the impact that Karen had on their lives. If you would, I'd appreciate you. I won't make you, but I'd appreciate you coming to the pulpit here so that everybody will be able to hear you. And that would be a really, really good thing. Is there anyone here that would want to make some remarks about Karen? We know we had impact, and I noticed something. You guys are talkers. Don't stop now. It's a comforting thing for everyone involved if you would share some of your memories. All righty. I know that you want to.
I thank everybody for coming today and celebrate Karen's life of Karen. Before you leave, everybody grab one of these, and there's little goodies in there, and remember to sign the guest book. Fill out the share a memory card, and we can read them later and have some time with the kids to enjoy that. We'd appreciate it. I would like to start with the day I met Karen. A buddy of mine named Tom and I went up to the corner pool hall named the Victory Tavern near the corner of 71st and Park Avenue, where we walked in and ordered a pitcher of beer. And once we got it, I looked over at the pool tables and I seen Karen and her friend Jeannie. And so I told Tom, I got to go talk to her. Just total attraction right off from the time I laid eyes on her. And I dated before, but nothing like her. I was like looking to the corner, and I just was totally attracted to going to talk to her. I had to go talk to her. So she was so cute playing pool, and especially the way she looked when she smiled and talked. She was like an angel to me. I was infatuated with her the more we talked. So Tom and I asked if we could play boys against girls. They said, okay, sure. So we let them both win about 5 games. While we were talking, she said she was 19, and I said I was 22, and I believed her. A year later, I found out she was only 16. So about 4 hours or so passed by that evening, and her girlfriend had to go catch the bus to go home. And I told Karen I lived right down the street off of Lower Park, which was down the street from my mother and my sister, Debbie. And I used to stay with Debbie, but I got an apartment with Tom. And I asked her if she wanted to come over and hang out with me and Tom and for a while, and I could take her home later. She said okay, but later never came. I made her call her mom and tell her where she was, and so her mom didn't worry about where she was. And while she was there, I made this wooden plaque. I didn't have no paper. And I gave her this plaque of my 2 addresses. I was getting ready to move into a new place. And so this way she couldn't lose it or throw it away. So, and that day I wrote J and K. Now, normally it's a heart, you know, with J and K, and it says forever, but I didn't put forever in there yet. But that was our logo, forever. And she cherished this because it meant a lot to her, you know, that I wasn't just some guy. And she cherished that. Just a piece of wood. And so it was love at first sight, and we both felt that way. She said she seen my cross necklace, and I always wore it. It made her feel safe, and she could trust me. We stayed together since that day we met. She was at my house every night. I mean, we just stayed together since we met, from the day we met. She'd go home once occasionally to get some clothes or whatnot, but I wanted her to move in, and that's what she did. So we got married in Bedford Church of the Nazarene on November 21st in 1987. As of today, we were married 34 years and together 37, and God has blessed us, keeping us together through the happy and sad times for all these years. We both only wanted a boy and one girl, and the Lord blessed us with one of each, and that was enough after Karen had two C-sections, so it was meant to be. Karen was a great and loving mother, as well a great homemaker and a cook. We both wanted her to be a stay-at-home mom and take care of the kids and raise them, not a babysitter raising them. When they were age 3, they both went to Head Start and then grown to graduate. Over the years, we were going to a Baptist church, and Karen got saved and then baptized. She was raised Catholic, but found happiness in the Baptist church and knowing Jesus as her Lord and Savior. About 10 years ago, Karen underwent bariatric surgery with major complications and 13 months after, in and out of the hospital, we found out she had to go on a feeding tube for 9 more months later. Then after the 9 months, she had corrective bariatric surgery. Then a few years later, had to have a mass of scar tissue removed from the C-sections from the childbirths. So Karen had a really hard road to live almost daily with these many problems developing from all the surgeries. But she loved her new body, losing all that weight, and she loved wearing her tight-fitting jeans. Karen loved to go on vacations and travel as many places as we could go and we can afford. She loved the adventure. She loved the music concerts. She loved shopping, especially in giving all the gifts to everyone that she could. And I'm sure most of you got presents from her one day or another. She loved her daughter and her son and really loved the grandkids. Now that ours were grown, she had her new babies to spoil again. She loved her swimming pool, hot tub, and patio. Every year, she would outdo Martha Stewart with all her flower arrangements and her flower beds. She really worked hard at it, and it was our oasis, our getaway without leaving to a resort. She loved cookouts and having all the kids over to swim. She found the most joy from that, along with finding a home in the church. After going for a while, she said she wanted to join the choir with me and sing and give praise to the Lord. And that wasn't her. She never really liked to sing and never sang karaoke or nothing. So I knew it was the Lord speaking to her. She never really, she could really sing and was her happiest times in the church and in the choir. And if you guys get a chance, watch the DVDs that we've given out for the holidays, for Christmas and Easter, in remembrance of her, and just reflect at how happy she was doing the Lord's work. It was a true blessing to do that for the Lord on Easter and Christmas. It made 100% more special for the holidays and felt we felt so close to our Lord and Savior. Over the last few years, Karen is having more bad days than good because of her failing health, and we didn't go to church as much, and then the COVID hit, so no church. But thank God for the Moody radio station to get my worship on, our worship on, any time of the day. Last October, early November, Karen was in the hospital, and I couldn't go see her due to the COVID restrictions. But I worked on my 1993 Chevy van and ready to sell. Well, the second person that came to test drive it ended up buying it from me. Well, I was talking to him and told him about my wife being sick and in the hospital. He said him and his wife would pray for her. And he said, take these to her. There were two books. And one is this book here, He Will Carry You. Him and his wife wrote it. And then there's another one, A Hug from Above. And they both had them published. And I thanked them and promised that I would read them to her. And I'd read them too. And wow, they were special and have many scripture quotes, but I'd like to read a little bit to uplift us during this time of Karen's passing as she is with the Lord. Knowing He has carried her, He will carry us all. I'm going to try my best here. Just a brief something. Let go of your cares. Let go of your worries. Don't waste one more minute worrying. I met someone that shared the following statement. Worrying is like an old man in a rocking chair. He may worry in the chair all day, but he sure won't get anywhere. So why do we struggle with it? And what good does it do? Worry is the opposite of faith and steals our peace. Physically wears us out. We can even make us sick when we worry. We torment ourselves. We're doing the devil's job for him. Worry is caused not by trusting God to make care of our various situations in our lives. Many times we trust in our own abilities, believing that we can figure out how to take care of our own problems. Yet sometimes, after all the worry and effort to go it alone, we come up short, unable to bring about suitable solutions. It's important to jump into the hands of God, to rest in His strength and the ability to deliver you. This means to cast your cares upon Him, as God's Word says. Let me carry your burdens, my child. God does not look upon trouble as we do. We see stress, we see opportunity. He sees opportunities. We see where we see crisis, He grows and better. He sees growth and betterment. God's purpose in times of crisis and trouble is to teach His children precious lessons. They are intended to educate and build us up. And when we learn from them and ride out these storms of life, we see a great promise fulfilled. His glorious recompense will come to us throughout eternity. We need to see the joy and opportunities through times of problems, because we will learn that there is a sweet and wonderful joy we can have here too. We do not have to wait until heaven. We can learn to make our life joy-filled by seizing the crisis and growing in it, to become the person that we are capable of being for our benefit of His glory. So when God tests you or bad stuff happens, we need to see, as it a time for you to learn and trust Him by changing what is wrong with you while putting His promises on your feet. And when it is over, we can look back and see that the trials have been necessary. We are better. He is glorified. You are stronger than ever. My dear friends, if you only knew how wonderful it is to lay back in the hands of God and relax, you would be much happier. Many of you would prefer sitting up and helping direct the hand of God in your life. But is that really trusting God? Is that really believing that He is able to do exceedingly above more than you asked or think? You know, come on, let's try it. Lay back in God's soft, cushion-like hands. Rest from all your imaginations, your fears, and your troubles. Now, how can we relax? The answer is to study the power of the God really has. Meditate on His word day and night. Remember, you can't trust someone unless you really know them. So let's go to know your God, your King, your Messiah. God is infinite in creation. Psalms 33:6. By the word of the Lord, heavens are made, their starry hosts by the breath of His mouth. God always keeps His promise. Isaiah 44:24. This is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, who formed you in the womb. I am the Lord, the maker of all things, who stretches out the heavens, who spreads out the earth by myself. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made you father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom we believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Hebrews 1:3. The Son of the radiance of God's glory is the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word after He has provided purification for sins. He sat down at the right hand of our majesty in heaven. Jeremiah 32:17. O sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arms. Nothing is too hard for you. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar, be troubled, though the mountains shake in the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be removed. God shall help her in the right early. The heaven raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, with what desolations He hath made in the earth. He has maketh wars and ceased unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot of the fire. But still, and now that I am God, I will be exiled among the heaven. I will be exiled into the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Scripture shows just how much we can trust in Him. In Him we are safe, because no matter what happens in our lives, He is present. Think about this. When He We face challenges so big, we have no idea how we'll overcome. He is with us. When we hear no so many times, we wonder in life, will we ever throw us a bone? He is with us. When enemies press all around and we have no idea what to do, he is with us. When we are alone because our spouse left, he is with us. When we have given up on life because we feel like there's nothing to live for, he is with us. When the foundation of the world seems shaken, he is with us and he is in control. Psalm 46. Reading verse 4 and 5, talk about the river flowing, making the city of God glad. I get excited because the river of God's blessings, his presence in my life, and now that Jesus has come, God dwells in me, not just in heaven, but by far, but my absolute favorite part of these verses in this, be still and know that I am God. Strong Cornet says the word still is rapa. It means this: relax, let go, be still, chill out, drop down, let it alone, be quiet, cut yourself some slack. We all have deadlines, pressures to perform, demands from family, and high expectations from ourselves to be perfect. And we are constantly compare ourselves to others. Wow, no wonder we are a mess. No wonder God wants us to be still. God says, relax, chill out, let go, cut yourself from slack now. Understand, become intimately acquainted with the fact that he is God. It is the truth you know that sets you free. It says, someone pointed out to me recently, the truth shall set you free. It is the truth you know that sets you free. So know this, God is in control. He is with you, with us. He will not forsake you. He will leave you to face anything alone. Be still, relax into his arms and chill a while in his presence. Cut yourself some slack and rely more on him. He has this. Be blessed. Be a blessing. And remember to relax is the verb. You are precious in God's sight. We are precious in God's sight. Don't let anyone ever tell you any different. God created you and loves you with all his heart. You are the utmost importance to him. He created you because he loves you. In the thought of you, he was so in love that his word spoke you into existence. God gives you every breath, and he wants you to spend eternity with him, loving you, having fellowship with you, holding conversations with you, providing for you, admiring you, blessing you, and giving you your heart's desires. Not only does God love you, but he loves your family and friends. God loves all those you love. God cares for all those you care for. God wants all of us to be at peace with one another and with him. God wants perfect love to flow all around. God wants to hear our shouts and joy and rejoicing together. Our shouts of rejoicing in him and his love, and in all things that he has made for us to enjoy. God saw everything before he created you, and he loved you. God saw all the places where you have succeeded and failed, and he loved you. God saw your love and kindness, and your stubbornness and selfishness, and he loved you. God has not separated himself from you, but he hath separated yourself from God. You have let other things get in the way between you and God. You have made other things more important than you and God. You have wanted to do things your own way without regarding to what God wanted. And what God wants is always about love. Love for him and love for our neighbors. But God provides a way for us to be reconciled to him. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we shall confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. When you trust in God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God begins his mighty work in you. The work of salvation and redemption. Your faith invites God to work inside of you, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Your heart is clean, so that wickedness becomes unappealing to you. You see that God's ways are better than your own ways. You become authentically happy rather than faking it, because the joy of the Lord fills you in his strength. The hindrance of life and love and peace and joy are taken out of the way. You become filled with the Lord instead of those things that never satisfy. You begin to experience those things that were missing before. Your life becomes full and you start to walk out your promise for being here. Your gifts are magnified. God showers you with blessings. Blessings will be used for good and not evil. And that's what Karen has found in the Lord. In this book, when I read that, it really touched me, because it was like it was meant to be. And today I felt compelled to read it to everybody, because I think it was kind of pertinent with the way Karen was feeling about the Lord. When we were in choir, we were the happiest. And those are the things that we really found our joy in, true love and happiness from our fellow churchgoers and choir singers. And I hope that some of us can learn from that and get in the church and start doing what God wants us to do, because that's really the true happiness. And this is one of Karen's bookmarkers for her Bible. I got it for her when I first met her. It was me and you, you and me. That's the way it'll always be. And here's another one. It's for Mother's Day. We got it at our church, but I think I want to read it to everybody for Mother's Day, all the mothers here. It's a mother's prayer. Thank you, Lord, for bringing my children into my life. Help me guide them and teach them through example and lead lives of wisdom and strong, loving faith. Please let them learn to serve you always in thought, in deed, and deed. And remind me, Lord, to always be there for my family. You are always there for me. Amen. And that's one thing she always tried to be, was here for the kids and the grandkids. And she found her joy. A lot of grandmas and grandpas know what a joy these little kids are. We get to spoil them like we used to when they're raising our kids. And, one last thing. I'm done. I'm sorry. Karen was my rock. She was the light of my life. She was my best friend. She was my everything. She was the love of my life. I love you forever. So let us find peace and solace knowing that Karen has no more pain, no more suffering, but rejoicing in heaven with her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God. I'm singing in his choir now. So thank you all for coming. Mm-hmm.
I know your life on earth was troubled. Only you know pain. You weren't afraid to face the devil. You were no stranger to the rain. Go rest high on that mount. Son, your work is done. Go to heaven and shout love for the Father and the Son. Oh, how we cried day you left us, gathered round your grave to grieve. Wish I could see angel faces when they hear sweet voices sing. Go rest on that mount, Son, your work is done. Go to heaven and shout love for the Father and the Son. Go rest out, Son, your work is done. Go to heaven and shout for the Father and the Son.
Souls of men, oh, you rescue the souls of men. A comforter, keeper, spirit we long to hopelessly lost the way. Oh, hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give healing and grace. Hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us.
Hearts are always hungry, hungry for the comfort that we can only have from knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Oh, we try to find all kinds of ways that will comfort our hearts. We find all kinds of ways. And in times like this, we are looking for comfort. In times like this, we are looking for answers. In times like this, we are trying to explain it all. We're trying to get it together. We're trying to see if there's any reason or rhyme to all of the stuff that we have to deal with. And it causes us to assess who we are, where we are, who we want to be, and where we want to be. Today, Karen's where she wants to be. Oh, she loved being with you, but once she saw Jesus, she was satisfied. Amen. She's joyfully waiting for all of you that will choose to come and be with her. All of you that will say, I will live a life that will point me in the direction that she is in, so that we together might celebrate throughout eternity. Wonderful, merciful Savior. Counselor, friend. He wants us, even now, this in this challenging time of transition. Thank you for the honor of allowing me to just say a few words. Not like you. Just say a few words. That would help us to grasp this amazing time. You see, because this is a gift to us. It's a gift that we can somewhat take time out to stop and consider. And as we stop and consider, and there are so many voices that are pouring in and so many feelings that are rushing out, and all of the collision of all of that in our head and our heart and our mind, we're thinking of all of these things. There's a scripture that helps us to grasp what we should do. In Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, starting with the 5th verse, it says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Believe that he is. You believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You believe in your heart with so that what's in your heart will lead your body to do what is right. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And this is the hard part, really. Lean not into your own understanding. It's difficult for us to not try to work it all out. I smiled greatly as Jimmy was saying that we should all just relax. Now, this is Jimmy. And he's saying, relax. The Word of God tells us to rejoice in the Lord always, even under these horrible circumstances, right? Rejoice in the Lord always, even when things haven't gone the way that we would have chosen. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Be careful for nothing. Don't you worry about a thing. Don't worry about this point in time. Don't worry about that. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, we need to give ourselves over to the Lord because the Lord is right here this day. So it's trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding, but there's an important thing that we should do. We must... But in all thy ways, acknowledge him. In everything you do, consider it in light of the Word of God, in light of the person of God, in light of your relationship to God. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Okay, you're Lord, I'm not. I would want to do this, but I won't. I said I wouldn't do that, but I will, because, Lord, you have said it, and my mind is confused. It goes back and forth, and there's all kinds of stuff, and there are things that allure me, and there are things that repel me, but I will look to God to make my choice so that I will be able to have a relationship throughout all eternity with the people that I love, including Karen. So here we are, acknowledging him, and what will he do? He will direct your paths. You may not know what you should do next. You may not want to do what it is that you're being called on to do next, but you'll do it. You'll do it. Because you can trust him. God is good. I could obviously preach a long time, but I'm not going to do that today.
I did.
And I got a feeling a lot of your family thinks that all the time.
Who told you?
And that's an okay thing. You see, because if you really love someone, you tell them the truth. You know, you're wise enough to know that your version of the truth might not always work out. But you know this, that the Word of God is true. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing of soul and spirit, and of joint and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God allows you to be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, make your request made known unto him, and the peace of God. You see, some of us need peace this day. Some of us need to be able to be reconciled with the things that have happened in our lives. There are things that have happened and are happening in our lives that we would not have chosen, and we need God's peace, and we can't figure it out. We can't get our arms around it. Was there something broken with me? Was there something broken with them? Is there something broken within? Or is it just the way that it is that you are using to make me into the person that I need to be? Today you can be made into the person that you need to be, and it's a challenging, painful, stressful thing. But you can trust him. You can trust him in the midst of this separation. You can trust him in the midst of this pain. You can trust him because he is. He really exists, and he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Seek him. Jimmy referred to a scripture earlier. Cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. Roll it onto him. He gets it. He understands what to do with it. He made the it. He's God all by himself, and he loves you. He cares for you. He wants you to live a life of joy and peace. But where do you get that life of joy and peace when you have been changed, when you've been made different, even in the midst of sorrow and pain, even when you don't like what's going on and you've lost all sense of control, even when it hurts, you can have this sense that I've got the joy of the Lord even as my tears flow. I've got the peace even as there's confusion and cloudiness in my mind about all the situations that have happened. I've got faith. I believe that he's God, and this faith will take me through the mountain of circumstances so that I can be welded together with those who know Jesus in a way that will allow me to keep on going, because I also have patience and perseverance. I can stand up. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it, no matter what it looks like. And I'm going to do it with self-control. There's a lot of things that are on my mind, but I don't have to say everything that's on my mind. I have self-control. I can do the right thing the right way. I can be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven me. I can do that. In fact, I have the goodness that God has given. Listen, you think I'm just making up a lot of cute things that are strung together? No, that's the Word of God in Galatians. It tells us that there's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a Spirit that's given to those that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I know, some Christians are still practicing. They haven't become expert yet, but they have all that available to them. You have all of that available to you. Don't turn away from it. Don't turn away from it. Turn to it. Turn to him. Turn to him because he has love. Love. A love that pours out upon us each and every day. A love that led Jesus Christ to die on a cross for us that would pay for all of our sins, all of the things that we've done, and all of the things that have been done to us. That's why we can forgive, because someone died for that sin. We can hang on. I know that this is a challenging time. I know it is. But I want you to look back and remember the good. And remember that there's a God who in the midst of this loves you so much that he's brought you all together to reflect that there's always hope for us. Always hope, a no-so hope. Do you know him? Then you can know that you have hope. Do you know him? This circumstance is not the end. Do you know him? When we think of Karen Marie Martin, we'll always associate her with Valentine's Day. She was born into this world, and what a joy that must have been. But what a greater joy that she was born again, and we all can be as well, so that we could celebrate each and every day as the glorious act of love that has been poured out into our lives. Thank you for allowing me to be here today. Thank you for allowing us to share with you as we grieve with you, for you. We're grateful. We ain't done yet. Just cool out. Steve.
Big. Oh, I'm a traveler far from home. I get lost, but I press on. There's a mansion, streets of gold. We belong. There's a day coming soon where the old be made new. Heaven's glory shine like the morning before your eyes. When we all see Jesus, when we all see Jesus, no more sickness, no more madness, no more pain. When we all see Jesus face to face, then we will rise in the angel voices. There will be a great rejoicing. Holy, holy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Oh, 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 when we all see Jesus, yes, when we all see Jesus, no more sickness, no more madness, no more pain. When we all see Jesus face to face, yeah, when we all see Jesus face to face.
Oh, dear Lord, let there be a day when each of us see Jesus face to face in joy because we have received him and because we are living in evidence that we've received him. That we don't let this slip away. Oh Lord, today we thank you for the life of Karen. And we ask that you would bless her family and friends that have gathered to honor her today in a very special and real way, giving them your presence, drawing them to yourself, using them to show just how good and wonderful you can be. Thank you for this time together, Lord. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. After this service, we're going to drive immediately. We'll be going over to Harrington Cemetery. And we can't do a formal parade, but we are going to go over it. So we need you to obey all of the traffic signs and things like that. Pay attention to what you're doing. And then we will gather there for a very short gravesite service. Then after that, we will come back here and have a really good meal. So, a chance to talk to each other and be together. So we appreciate all of you for coming out. And at this time, I will just walk row by row and dismiss the folks, but the family can stay a few more minutes and then we'll get in the cars and go. Is that good enough? Any other instructions?
Lots of food.
We have lots of food. Doug or Jenny, would you like to give directions to Harrington Cemetery? Yeah, it's Hopkins. Harrington's on Hopkins. Somebody that's sure.
Okay, go from the center of town, and I think there's a blinking light on the right. Now, the blinking light, you're going to make a left-hand turn, and you're going to take that to Hopkins. You'll be on Center Street. Take that to Hopkins, and you're going to make a right on Hopkins. And it's going to carry up on the right. So,
yeah, we've got to get separated into traffic. That's what's going to happen. But it'll be okay because they'll all find it. That's why I want everybody to know for themselves.
You'll make two turns. You'll make the left down the center, and then you'll make it way down Hopkins.
Yeah. Can't miss the cemetery.